This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona.
And I am Glenn McGee, all the way from Ocala, Florida. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September the 6th, episode number 739. This episode is brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday!
Well, good God Almighty, this week's been 2 months long. Lord, I love to hear that Friday 5 o'clock whistle moan. As the moon comes up and the sun goes down, put the juice in my truck.
Well, so welcome everybody to Friday's Freestyle Friday here on Horses in the Morning. And we are truly talking Freestyle Friday today because, Jamie, you know, that opener couldn't have been more appropriate. This is truly what you train for, what you're doing today.
It certainly is. And I realized, too, when you said you were from in Ocala, we could not be on more as two hosts. Let's see how we can wing this because we could not be further apart. You're in Florida. I'm in California. We are on complete opposite ends of the country.
3,000 miles between us. And Jamie, some days I think you feel that's probably not far enough, but that's a different story.
Yeah, you guys, I'm actually sitting here in my glamorous studio at Copper Meadows, read my pickup truck. Because I couldn't do it in a trailer. I didn't want to wake the baby. Yes, so I have driven to Ramona, California. I'm at Copper Meadows Horse Trials, and the baby and the husband are still sleeping in the gooseneck of the trailer while I'm sitting in the truck talking to you.
How's that working out with the baby in the gooseneck of the trailer? Is there enough room?
Let me just see, this is a peek into the insight of what happened last night. I seriously could not take it anymore. And my husband ended up sleeping on the couch in the trailer. It was just, there's too much going on, Glenn. It was hot. I just couldn't take it. I was like, there's no room because we have like a little bassinet that we basically had to stuff up there. So we've got this little bassinet. We've got we've got Chad, and it was just hot. And I was like, okay, I can't take it anymore. I was like, I'm going to leave. I'll go sit and sleep on the couch. He's like, no, I will. So he slept on the couch, and I had the bed all to myself with the baby.
So you kicked him out. You bring him along. He is the ultimate horse husband, comes along to the show to help out, to take care of the baby so you can do this, and then you kick him out of bed.
You know, that really sounds terrible. I'm an awful person.
I mean, well, but then again, you know, he's not feeding the baby, so, you know, he had no excuse to stay in bed and kick you out. So that's,
now,
you know,
wait a minute, Glenn. Let's put this in perspective. Who is the athlete in this little trio? Jamie. Jamie's the one that needs to get a good night's sleep, and Jamie's the one that needs to have her game on tomorrow, not Chad.
That's true.
Great.
That is true.
See, leaving to Ben to always jump on my side, I love it.
Speaking of which, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Totally Freestyle Friday, Kentucky Performance Products Edition, Jamie brings the party, known as Copper Meadows Horse Trial, to the show with horse trial organizers Taryn and James Atkinson. And next up, Gina Miles teaches us all about bits, and riding drag, really bad ads, sets the tone for the weekend. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
This is like all California eventing Friday, Jamie. When you think about it, Gina Miles, you got the Atkinsons on, you're out there in California. We have eventing stories.
eventing day. This is fantastic. It couldn't go any better for me. I love it. And James and Karen are so funny. You guys stick around for that because I taped it last night, obviously, because trying to get an organizer pinned down on the day of the horse trial is impossible. So we sat down with him and his wife, and Chad and I actually did the interview, although he was quiet for most of it. But he actually piped in a couple times, did he not, Glenn?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it either. And so it's kind of the two of us interviewing them, and it was pretty entertaining.
Baby Luke chimed in apparently one time, too, but I couldn't hear it. So I have to...
yeah.
Let's do our daily ready.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, my daily witty goes out to Jerry Kerr Canwright, who was one of our winners, posted on our Facebook page yesterday. She said, there is a podcast I listen to daily called Horses in the Morning. They had a contest. I entered and won. By far the best prize I've ever won and cannot wait to get out to the barn to use it on my horse. Thank you, Horses in the Morning. You made my day and my horses, too, feeling special. And what she won was the Healthy Hair Care grooming tote full of products. And she took a picture of it and posted it. There must be like 8 bottles of stuff there. She wants it. This is a big grooming tote full of stuff. So I can see why she was so excited about it. But thank you. We love when our winners post that. And we know our sponsors do, too. So we thank you, Jerry, for doing that. And there were a lot of other people that posted yesterday, too. One I wanted to ask you about, we had Jennifer played a rerun yesterday. And what she did is she played the best of all the horse shopping stories, all your horse shopping stories. And we got more comments and emails from people about that. Apparently people had forgotten them or not heard them originally. And we just got more comments and people saying, oh, that was great and everything. And there was one person that chimed in, Gemma, said, I just listened to yesterday's horse shopping horrors. Holy crap. By the way, whatever happened to the flea-bitten gray Jamie saved?
Oh, so there my was God. That is so funny that she asked that question, and I'll tell you why. Because he is actually here at Copper Meadows and is competing tomorrow, competes today.
Really?
Yes. He's done one other horse trial. This is his second horse trial. And he is going at, 12:37 today. His name, if you want to follow him online, because there's Starbucks scoring. The owner is Teresa Michalowski, and the horse's name, she named him Goosebumps. Because when you look at him, he gives you goosebumps. He's so, his story and the way that he moves, and he kind of looks like he has chicken skin anyway because he's so polka-dotted. It just all worked out. So his name is Goosebumps, and he's actually here at Copper Meadows. How awesome, Gemma, that you asked that question today.
Well, apparently when Jennifer, was that one of the ones you replayed is when she actually adopted that one or rescued that one?
I found that one. Yeah, that was the horse that was frozen in here yesterday. He was abandoned in a pasture full of garbage.
Oh, that's right. I remember that one. I see why that one made the best up because that it was a sad but funny story. So I see why that one made the best.
Yeah, sad and funny and with such a happy ending. I mean, he actually, the horse lives better than you and I do, Glenn. He has an owner who, he gets massages every week. He gets chiropractic adjustments. He gets massages. He goes schooling lessons, anything that horse wants. He's at a fantastic, top-notch facility in Phoenix. His life is awesome. So if you couldn't have 180'd this horse's life any more than he did, and he deserves it, and he earns it, and he takes really good care of his mama. So just a great story.
See, that's the problem. I need an owner. I need to be owned by somebody. Yes, sir.
Well, keep it on the eventing line. I'm going to keep this positive because something happened to an eventer this week. Her name is Amy Barrington, and she lives in North Carolina. And I knew her when I lived in Atlanta, and she's a super, super sweet woman who had a riding injury this week. And is currently in the hospital. And I don't think that you know, from what I understand from some of my friends, it's not looking good, but they're hopeful. And you can go to Amy Barrington Recovery page on Facebook, and you can find any information you want about keeping you guys updated on her recovery. But serious riding injury, and she was actually alone in the arena, and one of her students found her. So just as scary as you can imagine
She was doing flat work, too. It wasn't jumping or anything. It was apparently dressage she was doing that day.
Going to show you wear your helmet every day. She did have her helmet on, but, you know, stuff happens still.
Yeah, and I think right now, the last I read, she's still in an induced coma.
Yes.
So they're trying to do that so that her brain has time to heal. But we do wish her the best. So now today you'll ride dressage, and what time is that?
I go at 1:08 today, California time. So 4:08 your time.
And I saw you're 1:00 in the afternoon too tomorrow.
Yes, I am. So I've got all morning. This is fantastic. I'm going to get to watch all my friends. I would like to tell you that Lucas sat on his first horse last night. Yay! This is so cool. And not only does Lucas sit on his first horse last night, and this is why I brought it up, because I get to go watch her ride at 8:05 this morning. He only rides Rolex horses, Glenn. So, actually, Lucas sat on Barb Crabo's Ever Ready.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm like starting at the top.
I know. Exactly. Exactly. She's like, can I put him up on? She was braiding, and she's like, can I put him up on there so he can sit on his first horse? I was like, yeah. I haven't even sat on him. I want to, but yeah, put the baby up there. So we took some pictures. Obviously, it was like 11 o'clock at night, so they're pretty dark, but I'll email them to you when I get them, Glenn, and you can post them because somebody had their phone real close. But yes, baby sat on Ever Ready. We start high in the Jennings family.
Yeah, he can only go downhill from now to the rescue pony you find, and that's a mean little sucker. Yeah. You know,
the little mini that you find abandoned in a garbage lot is going to be so disappointing.
You know what? I'll just keep it real and I'll give him Jet. Be like, you know, you want to earn your ride? Here you go.
Yeah, it'll be real, all right.
Yep, it'll be real. Real fun.
Speaking of which, is he ready? I mean, is Jet ready? Is he going to have a nice quiet day today? Do we have some on some Omega Alpha Comer today?
Oh, please. He's been getting airwaves for 2 days, and he's got the chill. Equine chill is sitting outside of his stall. Now, he's pretty good. I've been able to ride him, actually, more than I did for the last horse trial. So I feel like he's doing better. His mane is pulled. I'm not doing it at the show. So, you know, we're a little more organized this time. And I'm feeling good. But, somebody, Susan Kane posted a quote online, and you guys know, you know, Jet has really given me hard times at these things and bucking and going crazy, and, you know, I get probably way more nervous than I should, or he just makes me really nervous. And I saw a quote by Winston Churchill on Facebook. See, this is why we watch Facebook, you guys. It makes you feel good. Now, the quote was that an optimist sees an opportunity in every calamity. And a pessimist sees a calamity in every opportunity. And I thought, I'm going to so use that. Because the potential for disaster at a horse trial, especially with one like Jet, is huge. I mean, you know, you go out on cross country and you're like, oh, I could fall off at fence four. Oh, fence number six is scary. The combination of the water is terrifying. Oh, my God. Or you can go, you know what? I'm going to use this cross country course for an opportunity for awesomeness. Isn't that awesome?
That's a good positive mental attitude, Jamie.
Thank you. I figure that Daniel would be very impressed with my mental imagery and opportunity.
Sports psychologist Daniel would also say, be sure you have your song in your head, your happy song. Because
I do need a new song. I do need a new song because I'm not, like I told you guys, and you'll hear in the interview with James and Taryn how I talked about they have such good prizes here. I really want to win. And I told you guys I win, Sam. Like, I want to win. So this is my mantra in my head is to not get fucked off and to not be scared. I'm going to use it as an opportunity.
There you go. That sounds
like
good.
Crazy.
Hey, speaking of opportunities and other horse trials going on right now, we have to mention Burley. Of course, it was the first day of dressage yesterday at the Burley Horse Trials, a Land Rover Burley Horse Trials over in England. It's one of the biggies of the year, and everybody is following it here as well. As you would expect, a European is leading dressage after day one, and that is silver medalist Ingrid Klimke. Is leading after day one. Now, that doesn't really mean much because the better riders with the better horses usually go on day two, but she is leading. And then we have Jock Pageant in second on Clifton Lush, and Andrew Nicholson is in fourth on Avery. So the Kiwis are in two of the top four spots after day one at Burley. Now, your William Fox Pitts and your other German riders and things have Michael Young have not gone yet. So
now that is not true that the best riders go on the next day. That's not true at all. It's a total draw, apparently. Supposedly, do you think they really stack it like that, where they put the better riders on the second day?
Oh yeah, I definitely think they do that.
Oh no, say it ain't so.
Why are you on day one?
Exactly. I'd be a day one rider for sure.
No, if you look at any of these lineups, you'll see that that it's usually always that way. That's why you see so much change on day two.
Well, for those who don't know, Burley is the one where, I mean, it's one of the, you know, only few four stars in the United States, but it's also the one that has the ridiculous grounds. It is a true, you know, what you think of England and old-timey England when you watch, like, Sense and Sensibility or Pride and Prejudice, Jane Austen, with that, you know, you look at Pride and Prejudice and you think of where the main guy lives and you drive up to this amazing castle and there's amazing ground surrounding it. That is where this horse trial is held. There's a castle in the middle of it all and running cross-country, like, kind of around the house.
Well, the house, I think it's supposed to be one of the, it was an Elizabethan house, and apparently it's one of the largest, what do they say? It's one of the largest manor houses, or the largest manor house there is. And it is absolutely huge. I mean, it is huge. It is so neat. That is definitely one. You know, when you go badminton or Burley, I'd almost rather see Burley because of the grounds. Of course, badminton isn't shabby either. But
I mean, just to see that house is just amazing. For those who can follow along, it looks like Devonshire in Pride and Prejudice with the Keira Knightley version. I watch way too much Jane Austen. I love it.
Well, now, before we get to your first interview, I just have it is Freestyle Friday. And you're in California, so I came across this list this morning, and it made me think of you for two reasons. One is it's a list that's put out annually, and we talk about it every year, about Allstate puts out a list of the most dangerous places to drive and the best, safest places to drive in the United States. And, yeah, I know, and I thought about you because you, in the last day, have driven in both one of the safest and one of the most dangerous.
Really?
Yes. Now, the overall ranking puts Fort Collins, Colorado, for the third time as the safest place to drive in America. Boise, Idaho is in there, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Brownsville, Texas, Madison, Wisconsin. Reno, Nevada is actually in the top 10 of the safest places to drive. Well, those are all smaller towns. When you take a look and break it down into cities, this is how it breaks down. Cities of a million or more, the safest place city to drive in of a million or more is Phoenix, Arizona.
Really?
Yeah. I thought you might be surprised.
I am surprised by that. I wonder if it's like they checked in the summer because nobody wants to go anywhere in the summer, so nobody drives in the summer and sort of miserable. But in the winter, there's so many elderly people that drive into what is called Sun City. And so you can be driving down the road and you get on the freeway and you merge and somebody's going 35 in the right lane and you can barely see their head, you know, over the steering wheel. There's no way they should be driving. They're 95 years old. There's a lot of elderly drivers that take on in the winter months in Phoenix. And I'm shocked that it's safe because I really feel like they cause and or have a lot of accidents.
Well, apparently not. Apparently not. Now, you are also in the place that has one of the worst driving places, and that's Los Angeles, California. So you're also out there where you've hit both the extremes today. Now, the worst place, the absolute worst place for driving in the United States, any guess?
Detroit.
You know, I thought Detroit, too, actually, to be honest with you, but nope. You have to think East Coast. Philadelphia is in the bottom. Atlanta's not actually. Philadelphia's in the bottom, and the worst place to drive in the United States for like the 18th year in a row is Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah, that place is awful. That's why everybody takes the train. Huh, I'm surprised because I would think maybe they're not counting gunshots as car dangerous driving because I would think in Detroit you worry about drive-bys and getting shot and everything. Yeah.
Chicago, you know, Chicago's not great either when it comes to gunshots. It's definitely not great, but yeah, well, that's your list. So be careful driving home on Sunday, Jamie.
I will. That's funny. It makes me think of some. I have a new television show addiction, Glenn. And I think with you, your personality, you would also love it, Jen. Probably you too. It's called Bait Car. Have you ever seen Bait Car?
No. Uh-uh.
Oh, my gosh. It's hysterical. So I've seen it. It's actually in Chicago and in L.A. These police officers all leave a car on the side of the road with the keys in it. And they watch as people the car has cameras all in it, and they watch people steal it. And it's called Bait Car. And it's hysterical because what they do is the guys get in the car and they're gonna steal it and they're like, we won't get this in it, and, you know, they get the keys, they're like, we're taking this to the chop shop, and they get about a mile and then the cops shut the car off and lock the doors.
Oh, it's one of those.
So
they're locked in the car.
Like, why can't the door won't open. Your car's shutting off. Oh, my God. You hear all the beeps and everything because they're not the most savory characters stealing the cars. And, oh, my gosh, this show is so addicting because you're like, busted. You know, it's so satisfying because I've had a car stolen in Atlanta twice. So the fact that they got this big car thing, it makes me so happy.
Well, let's hear about your first interview. Let's take a listen to that. Tell us about it.
Well, I sat down with James and Taryn, who run Copper Meadows Eventing here in Ramona, California, and sat down with them, and they're both eventers. James has competed at Rolex a couple times, and Taryn Scott has ridden up through intermediate with aspirations of advanced, and I'm going to tell you, at some point, Lucas started passing a lot of gas in the interview, and he was sitting in my lap, but I guess Glenn couldn't hear it and cut out all the laughing because it's a random moment of hysterics because everybody thought it was me. I mean, looked at me like I was the one farting. And I'm like, you can always blame it on the baby. So we sat down and talked, and anything else I need to preface it with, Glenn?
Nope. So let's take a listen. I learned a little bit more about Copper Meadows, where Jamie is right now. And then when we come back, we'll hear from a California eventing Olympian, Gina Miles, as well. So let's take a listen to this.
Well, I am sitting here with James and Taryn Atkinson. Chad and James just having their own conversation. No, this is good stuff. Go ahead. While we get started, we're actually in the only air-conditioned spot in the entire place.
Heaven in here.
Heaven. And we're all drinking. Mm-hmm.
And I do want to start with the fact that we had a listener call in and said Copper Meadows is the best horse trail there is. They have tequila there.
We hate that.
Have you not just tequila, but tequila liqueur.
Oh, no,
that's not to happen. It is served in special monkey shot glass. Yeah. With a very well-endowed monkey.
What part of the glass do you drink out of?
You know the answer to that.
Exactly.
So, but you guys have graduated. Now you're drinking fancy drinks now.
Red Solo cup.
We're getting ready for the morning already.
Bloody Mary tonight. Yeah. We're having the beer, so it's good. You guys... Taryn, I've talked to James before. I don't care about him anymore. Tell us the story of Copper Meadows.
Okay, Copper Meadows. So my parents bought Copper Meadows in 1999, and it was my mom's dream to have an eventing facility. They'd been looking forever since they got married and finally found something that would work, that was sort of close to town, not way out in the boonies, had enough room. So she built it from scratch. It was a turkey farm.
No way.
And, yeah.
Seriously?
It was. And huge. I don't know if you know what a turkey feeder looks like, but it looks like a spaceship. And there were like 600 of them all over. And so
it's
cows.
What
yeah,
about?
Like...
I've never seen a turkey feeder, I guess.
I don't even know how to describe it. I'm making the shape with my hand right now.
this is very Googleable.
Yeah.
We have turkey feeders on cross country, right? A cabin roof.
There you
and
go.
Then a void underneath, and then a platform on the bottom.
And turkey food in the void.
Huh. And turkey food.
And so, and cows everywhere. So she bought the place, and she designed it. She laid it out. She did everything, and it's beautiful. So we ran our first event in 2000. She got the event up through advanced at one point. I can't remember the year. But James and I took over in 2010 when my mom decided she would rather retire.
Realized it was a stupid dream.
She'd been trying to make money. Yeah. She'd been trying to make money forever, and it just wasn't happening. And so James and I took over in 2010, and we've just
That was years ago already.
No, it's eons, and we've had a blast putting it on.
How many events do you guys have a year?
Three recognized. And then we do a bunch of unrecognized one days, like eight. A year.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And this is such an interesting place because you feel like you're in the middle of the city.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it pops. You're driving down the road, this kind of little farm after little farm, and then boom, cross country course.
Right. It's actually Section 8 housing, little farm.
That's kind of how it rolls.
We've been putting
things right here. And the airport, too. And the airport is right here.
I was trying to be nice.
Section 8 for you non Californians means really
ghetto.
Nice.
We're in the ghetto, and there's a horse trial, so it's perfect.
But I mean, theoretically, the close to town is, you know,
ideal.
Is a factor when you're planning a facility.
But it's also ideal for an event when you've got a lot of people coming
that's
in.
That's right.
You know, easy access to hotels and supermarkets and restaurants, which is nice.
And the one restaurant and everything else.
Two.
Now, good on you, Taryn, because you married a course builder, so
right?
You can just send him out.
I'm just cutting down on cost here.
So pragmatic. Yeah.
I know. Women are practical.
That is very smart. Now, is it different? Do you take a different approach when you're designing your home course as opposed to other courses?
Not from a course design perspective, but building the stuff, yes. The first couple of years I was here, we just had to put together enough jumps to create courses. But then this past year in particular, the job of a national horse trials is to prepare the horses and riders for the FEI shows, the CCI shows. And so what we're able to do now we have enough jumping efforts out there, we're able to ask specific questions that are maybe a slightly easier version of what the horses and riders will see at Galway Downs in 2 months and at Woodside in a month.
So are you saying that the training level course could be a little easier for me? That's what I'm hearing. That's all I want to hear.
I actually feel really bad about the training course because I didn't build a single new fence on the training course. Not sweet.
Are you kidding me? That's great.
Well, they're going to be terrified when they walk their course, but but training is, it's also progressive. I mean, you have an angle brush over a ditch.
The jump's is, great.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Okay.
Which then progresses all the way up through the advanced level.
Now, I would like to say I almost did come off my horse on, I think it was fence four, with the giant boulder.
Yeah.
That everybody said, oh, there's no way your horse will spook at it. And nobody ever spooks at it as my horse goes sideways at fence four.
Yeah.
Somehow we jump it from a standstill. I end up having to circle because I have landed on his neck. And fence five is right there, so they give me a run out. And
so, James, part of your genius as a course builder is, how did you get that 70-ton boulder on the course?
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah.
If you see out there, I spent a lot of money bringing all those boulders in.
You're just gifted.
No, it's definitely a unique property. I mean, obviously, it's pretty flat, but the boulders actually, I think, benefit the course as a whole because it gives it some character and some a reason for you to run all the way out to the back corner of the property, because then there's some kind of formation out there, so we put a combination there, and you loop around it, and you do something. Rather than just running back and forth on a flat piece of ground.
How many acres is this place?
65.
You guys used every inch of it.
Every inch.
It's impressive.
Yeah, every inch.
Yeah. I mean, it's unusual to have
this
up
amount,
through
yeah.
advanced even on 65 acres,
feel
let alone
small,
like everything else.
No,
and I think, you know, we know our place. Like, we're not going to run the Olympics here. We're preparing the horses, like we said, and so we try to make it a really competitor and trainer-friendly event. You know, if the trainer wants to come, then all their students come. And so the arenas are all very close. The stabling is very close. The cross-country stadium, everything is right there, which makes it actually, as a professional, certainly very convenient. And as a rider, too. You know, you can see every fence on the cross-country course from standing out at the tower.
And for the people that drag babies around and walk
Yeah, I mean, you just walk the longest stretch on the property to get here,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a couple places I don't necessarily super stoked about the 10-mile walk a day, you know, looking at a horse's
right.
butt the entire
time. Right. Really, I mean, people want to come to a show, they want to get their qualification, and they want to go home. You know, I mean, this is not their goal for the year. This is just a means to an end. And so if we can...
Says him. Some
this
horse
year
people
has
never
been
get.
Really good, right? I mean, we were
like
struggling.
Robert Kilrath is saying that last year at this time, we'd run for the total, last year, maybe 350 horses. And this year, we've run 650.
Oh, wow.
So,
do you think that has to do with your facility, or does it have to do with the economy getting a little better?
I think the improvements we've been making have made a big difference.
I think our area is doing very well this year. I think nationally, actually, the entries are down for horse trials.
Really?
Yeah, which is stressing out the our association a little bit. But in Area 6, our entries are up about 30%. So I think the economy hits California a little faster, a little sooner, maybe, than the rest of the country. So I think it is definitely a part of the economy. But I think for us personally, for 2 years, we invested a lot of money. I mean, we were down one show. We were down $15,000 after we ran the show.
Ouch.
Which is, you can't do that for long.
That's a bit demotivating when you're working.
It is,
you do.
But it was part of a plan, right? You know, you can't, as an organizer, we got a lot of exposure for some dirt work that we did on the cross-country course in the spring. You can't sit around and complain about not having entries, right? If, let's say yourself, you have, in your budget, you have 4, 6, 20, whatever number of shows that you can go to in a year, you're going to choose where you're going to spend your money. And so we have to make this a destination event. We have to give people a reason to want to come to this show. And so we're geographically challenged, being stuck down in the bottom corner of the country. So our footing has to be better. Our customer service has to be better. Our organization has to be better. Everything just has to be great to make people say, well, I'll drive 9 hours or 20 hours or 7 hours or whatever it is to come to Copper Meadows. mm-hmm. instead of going to their local show in Arizona or Utah or wherever it is, you know.
Okay. Well, just to remind everybody, I'm sitting here talking to a venting power couple on the West Coast.
can we have a nickname like Jaren?
Oh, obviously Jason.
Or Tame.
I can say Tame.
Jaren's strong.
Like Jaren is strong. Yeah.
That is nice. That is
but
nice.
Tame's is kind of good.
It sounds African American.
Wait, nothing wrong with
that. I should be playing basketball. I want to be Jamarius.
You're Jamarius Jones.
Bloody Mary's, people. I've been consuming Bloody Mary's.
Go back to the tequila theme.
Yes.
Well, we're going to talk about your upcoming trip here, but one of the great things, and I decided, and I said it on our show on Wednesday, I want to win this time.
Yeah.
It's time I win a training.
We know
I'm
the
ready.
Judges.
I appreciate that because
we pay them.
You guys have the best prizes.
Right?
I'm on Facebook and it constantly keeps coming up. But, whoa, we're giving this away. And I hear you have State Farm coolers.
Oh, yeah. State Farm coolers and also sponsored by Four Star Brands. And they are doing embroidery on the side. They're black coolers. They're beautiful. Whores brand is the brand of cooler. And
yes, she said whores.
It's with a Z.
We know what that means.
I need background because I didn't know.
We are going to be in Amsterdam. And they're beautiful.
Yeah.
We're so excited.
Well,
State Farm stepped up and they've gone past the mimosa.
I mean, all of the stuff that competitors actually care about,
Fleeceworks.
Fleeceworks is a huge sponsor. Judy McSwain at Fleeceworks is incredible.
We love her.
She gives and gives.
Yeah, and but because my entire family works for State Farm.
Right.
And my father has never approved of this whole horse thing.
Sure.
But if I roll home with a State Farm blanket on my horse, hello.
Yes.
He'll be
this guy,
his favorite child.
Jim,
Jim self-support.
Yeah, who is doing this State Farm push with us. He has had a tremendous response from this show.
Really?
I mean, and corporate is thrilled with the pictures that they have returned of horses, people falling off. How good is this? People fully inverted over top of their banner. Right?
Like a good neighbor.
I love it.
That's NASCAR, right? People go to see the
it
wreck,
is.
Man.
Yeah.
Right. That's awesome. And then you also have the hats you guys always give away at the horse trials.
Signature hats.
Well, every horse person wears a hat. Unfortunately, you have to look at my hair right now, but I have a Copper Meadows hat, and you're proud to wear stuff like that.
Sure. Yep.
For whatever reason, the Copper Meadows hats caught on. I think it's because they're kind of girly-shaped. I personally do not wear them.
He says
but,
with his cowboy
but
hat.
Everybody wears them, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They go
I
mean, with everything. They're
black.
They go with everything. Yeah.
You're right. I tried it on at the house. I'm like,
it is a bit girly, but
so now we're trying to enhance that, and every time we do something a little different with the hats, but it's great exposure, right? You go to a horse show, I bet you see 100 Copper Meadows hats there.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty good advertising.
We saw a guy actually in Home Depot at about 10:30 at night. James and I were in there. I think we were the only people.
I think it was during one of our horse shows. We needed something.
We needed something. And this man was standing behind us, short man, and he had this long beard like Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. And we turn around, and he's got a Copper Meadows hat on.
Clearly an inventor.
Right. Clearly.
Find one piece of wood, and we're like, where did you even get
that? He's probably going to burn it in his barrel. Right?
Gandalf rides
He had crazy eyes. I didn't ask him where he got it.
But he had a Copper Meadows hat, boy.
I mean, the reach is unbelievable.
the economic impact.
Okay, tell us a little bit about your trip before we let you guys go.
So we haven't really had a vacation in a long time. So we've got a really good friend who is stationed in Kenya right now, or Kenya. I don't know how to say it. And we have decided that we
Jamarius
are going.
Jamarius might know it.
Jamarius. I believe it's Kenya.
Right.
Being a local.
That's good. Thank God, Jamarius.
That's really going to catch on.
We are flying through Amsterdam, spending a day and a half there on our way to Kenya. to visit Jamarius's roof. And then we returned
this
to Paris.
This is the whitest guy on the planet.
Blue eyes, blonde hair.
Yeah, I mean, sunburned.
Completely red.
Lovely red. Yeah.
Back through Paris. And so we're nice. Total gone 21 days, and we can't wait.
Wow.
And we're hoping we don't see one horse the entire time.
And we're not going to camp. We're not actually going to be outside.
Yeah, we're just going to be in air conditioning, and people are going to bring us food.
You're just going to consume.
We're going to consume. the essence of consuming.
We're probably not even going to go on safari in Africa.
We'll be like animals? No.
We're just outside time. You don't do that.
Yeah.
No, really, our year is very busy with... We used to have a hobby, and now it's our job. And so
not
we
complaining.
Don't do anything other than ride and teach.
Break your leg every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. And
which is healed nicely, by the way. You don't even have a limp.
Yeah, well,
hardly.
I have a swagger.
Oh, he is hilarious.
Yeah. You gotta have a swagger.
And so, yeah, the summer is literally one show to the next. And so we're going to get out of here. And go on vacation. That's
good for
awesome.
You. Can you remember the last time you took 3 weeks off of running?
That never happened.
No,
never.
I don't think that's ever happened to us. Well, actually, when you broke your femur.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Maybe he got 3 weeks.
Yeah, I did. I had 3 weeks before I went back to work. Yeah.
It still seems you were driving a tractor with a broken leg.
I had the bungee cord and the thing hanging off my tractor. Literally, yeah.
And they all said, I can't believe you let him do that. And I thought, as if I have any control over what he does.
Yeah. That's great. Well, you guys, thank you so much for having us and hosting this awesome horse trial and being on our show and taking the time out of your day. And
thank you.
Again, Eventing Power Couple, Jamarius. West Coast, on the west side. Oh, my God, she's perfect.
See that?
I know. That's right, up the track. Yeah.
Yeah. In the ghetto, we're eventing. It's awesome.
Yep.
You guys, thank you very much. And what is your website where people can find everything they need to know?
copper-meadows.com. All right. And we're on Facebook.
Perfect, Copper Meadows.
And watch our scores, startbox.com.
Yep.
Look for Jamie Jennings in the Training Bee. I'm going to be winning this thing, baby! Yeah!
Choosing a supplement can be confusing. How do you know which ones are right for your horse? Kentucky Performance Products will simplify your search for effective, research-proven supplements that meet the challenges of today's horses. And this week's highlight product is Contribute Omega-3 Fatty Acid Supplement. The properties of omega-3 fatty acids benefit every system in your horse's body. Contribute improves breeding efficiency in mares and stallions, maintains soundness and protects joints from damaging inflammation, sustains a strong immune response in horses of all ages, and decreases the levels of inflammation in your horse's body by sustaining adequate omega-3 fatty acid levels. Learn more about Contribute Omega-3 Fatty Acid Supplement and all the other products at kppusa.com. That's Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. Jamie Jennings is out there, excuse me, in California. And we have Coach Jen in the producer chair today. We have a song for you, and then we're going to come back with an interview that Jennifer and I, or Helena and I actually did at the American Equestrian Trade Association with eventer Gina Miles, California Olympian, actually, Gina Miles, and talking about bits. So we're going to be back, but first I want to play a song for Jamie to help you relax, Jamie. I know what it's like at the horse trials for you, so this is one of your favorite songs, Peace, Love, and Horses by Jared Rogerson.
Wildflowers in her hair. She can go anywhere on that Palomino mare. She's got Rocky Mountain Ivory. jewelry that she wears around her neck. And the Grateful Dead play a song in her head somewhere between cowboy and hippie. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me. She could end the war with just a smile. She can drive a tractor, belling hay for miles and miles. She says in a sense, grows right out of the ground. She believes in heaven, and what goes around comes around somewhere between cowboy and hippie. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me. But the pages are the same. It's certain as a river in the spring. You seal a deal with a handshake. That's her philosophy. She can rope and ride, and she likes hanging out with me. She believes that love is the one thing that can't change anything. And she loves me, and that's the part that gets me. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
Well, of course, that's Peace, Love, and Horses with Jared Rogerson. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. Well, we had an opportunity while we were at the American Equestrian Trade Association to catch up with somebody. We literally ran into somebody that I didn't expect to see there, and that was Olympian Gina Miles, one of our first guests here on the Horse Radio Network. She has a new line of bits that has come out. Helena and I took the opportunity to talk to her about that and bits in general. So let's talk to California girl, Gina Miles, from the American Equestrian Trade Association show.
This week's Tack and Habit segment features one of my favorite all-time riders and competitors, Gina Miles. Gina's going to be talking to us about a line of bits that she's developed in partnership with Professional Choice.
And it was an added bonus that we actually got to see her in person at the American Equestrian Trade Association a couple weeks ago. We didn't know she was going to be there, so...
It was a pleasant surprise. And
so
I could have talked to her. You know, I was like, damn, we only have 10 minutes. I could talk to her for 10 hours about bidding.
And, of course, she is an Olympic eventer for those few people that don't know who Gina Miles is. She's
a medal-winning Olympic eventer.
Yes, out of California.
No joke. Gina Miles is no joke, people.
And one of our favorite guests.
Yes.
Well, Helena and I are here at the American Equestrian Trade Association show. Thanks to Hopper Expositions for bringing us in with another Tack and Habit segment. And we're so excited about this because one of our first guests ever, 4,200 guests ago on the Horse Radio Network, was Gina Miles. And now we're sitting here with her here in person. Gina, I ought to say, I never thought I'd run into you at a trade show in Philadelphia.
Well, here I am, straight from California. 16 canceled flights later, I finally made it.
Oh, I heard you being late last night, too.
Yes, it was a bit of an adventure, but who knew you could have weather problems in San Francisco and Phoenix? fog in San Francisco, heat in Phoenix, and there you go.
Oh, there,
happy
well,
to be here.
We're so glad to see you in person again. It's so much fun. Actually, Gina was one of our Helena and I's first guests.
Yeah, like the third guest. Yes, Gina was like our third guest on the show, and you were right off of your silver medal win in the Olympics.
Ah, excellent.
And yeah. I was like... What do you ask an Olympian? He's like, oh, you lead this. You like her. You know, not a fan of her. And we were only really like three shows in.
Yeah.
What we were doing.
No, we had
and
no
you
idea.
You made it really easy.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
We had no
that
listeners then either.
We had, that makes it easy,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That makes it easy.
I was like, it was a little bit awkward at first, but then we started talking about McKinley.
Yeah.
I really wanted to learn about him.
Yeah.
I thought he was just the greatest, and you were grooving on him. And I think once we started talking about him, we all got comfortable.
I got good at it, yeah.
And I think Gina's been a guest about 100 times on all, almost all the different mm-hmm, shows since mm-hmm. then. But now you actually have something that you want to talk about.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. I've been working with Professionals Choice on a BitLine. Bidding has sort of been my passion from, I can remember I was working a student for Brian Sabo and walking into his tack room at Hurdlevale, and there's a whole wall of bits. And he knew about every single bit and what this bit did and what that bit did. And it was such a fascination for me that there was so much about bidding to learn. And that really continued on riding with Jimmy Wofford and being on the East Coast and learning about horses and training from Jimmy and sort of his philosophies. And also with George Morris. As a three-day eventer, I spent a lot of time cross-training in the dressage and the show jumping disciplines. And so getting sort of that feedback and perspective, I just have always had a real passion for it. So when Dal Scott, the owner of Professionals Choice, approached me with the idea of a BitLine, it was a natural fit. You know, I'm really, my goal was to educate people more about bidding. A lot of times I see people out there in a fad bit, the latest, greatest, and they have no idea what it does. And so for me to try to help educate people about what bits do and get the most performance out of their horse was my goal.
So when you switch between disciplines, as a three-day eventer, same horse, do you change bits depending on what you're doing?
Absolutely. Now, you know, one of my basic philosophies is to try to go in the simplest bit possible. So if I can ride in the basic double ring snaffle that I have for all three phases, that's my first choice. And then I try to get, if I have a new student, a new horse comes into the barn, that's what I want to put them in, is I have a really basic, loose ring, double jointed snaffle that's legal for dressage, and we start everybody in that. And that's sort of our starting point. You know, where are we? What's the communication? Does the horse listen? Where are the problems? And then we go from there.
So if you have, let's say you have a horse who's just really strong in a bit, hard to rate whether mm-hmm. it's control out in the open, cross country, or even in the ring, what would be the next thing that you would go up to?
Well,
if it's just a lot of energy.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, and I worked on putting together a bit guide. So I actually wrote a guide that's going to go along with the bits to help explain some of these things. Because
that's like a free lesson from Gina.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
That normally costs you $10,000.
$20. It just went up to $20.
I didn't know.
Every once in a while he catches on. And then we have to be careful. Turn his volume down.
but it actually has so much to that, because there's different types of mouthpieces that you can go to, so you can change the action of the mouthpiece to either go more gentle or more severe based on what you put in the mouth. And then there's also the cheek pieces. So there's a lot of, whether you're going to a full cheek or a loose ring or a D-ring, there's a lot involved in the cheek pieces, whether you start to go to leverage. So we get into the realm of leverage bits. And then you have to look at, okay, well, is my horse strong because he goes too high? Does he put his head up in the air and he's hollow-backed? Or does he bear down? Does he, you know, lean down and go too low? Or does he act like he swallowed a 2x4 and he's completely locked in the head and the neck? And that's going to determine what I go to and affect. And that's kind of what I explain in the bidding guide about, you know, what is it that your horse does? So he runs off with you, but does he go down too low? If he goes down too low, we need to be looking at a gag type bit. So I've got a W gag that's really good for cross country and horses that run way too low versus the signature bit, which I'm really excited about. So excited to get this one out there finally. It's this double ring Waterford. So it's got a Waterford mouthpiece. So it can be very mild for a young horse. So if you have a kind of a green young horse and you don't want to go too strong or overbid them, and you use even pressure, the Waterford's really gentle. But because it's got two rings, so the cheek piece attaches to one ring and the reins to the other, there's no fixed point of contact. So the horse cannot lean on it. There's literally no fixed point for the horse to lean on.
Isn't that one of
your favorite bits anyway? Oh, all-time favorite bit. Yeah. All-time favorite bit.
Explain a little bit about how a Waterford functions, because it's my favorite too, but I don't know why. Okay. I just know it's gentle and it's soft.
Exactly. Because the most gentle mouthpiece you can use is a Mullen mouth, right? So just one solid, smooth piece across the horse's mouth. And so your Waterford can act like a Mullen mouth if you use even contact on both reins. So if you have completely even contact, it just makes that Waterford go into one solid piece. So it's really gentle on the horse's tongue, which is why it's good for young horses. But if they start to lean or brace or run off with you, it instantly, by moving the bit around in the mouth, you can change it into five different pieces. It's got the five different pieces on it. So you can break them up, loosen them, stop them from bolting or leaning and running off with you, and then go right back to the smooth pressure.
It's like a whole training toolkit in their mouth right there.
Exactly.
So if you know how to use it properly, it's like a little toolkit.
Exactly. So we've taken the Waterford and we've taken the Waterford, and by adding the double rings, we've taken that one step further. So still with a young horse, it's still going to be as gentle as you want the Waterford to be, but the strongest horse I've ever ridden cross country in my life. Now, like the one that would pull and take off like a freight train. If I put more, like a strong bit in her mouth, she hated it. She'd hop up and down. And we get a lot of thoroughbreds in eventing that don't like strong bits. And they need more control. But if you go to more bit, the horse just hates it, you know. But they don't resent this because it's got that gentle mouthpiece. And then it's got the two rings. So your rein is attached separately from where your cheek pieces are. And when they go to lean on you, you can move that around. If they're a little low, it can have a slight gag effect. If they're a little hollow, you can really supple them in the pole and the jaw and get them to drop and relax their back. And it's like magic control. I mean, it really, we can put it on 80% of the horses in the barn and have it be a solution, you know, solving the problems.
What makes your bits different than everybody else's? That's a question you're going to get over and over again.
Yeah, of course. Well, we do have some very basic bits that are very similar to, you know, what you'll find on the market. We've got a slow twist. We've got the double ring. I think because they're manufactured by Professional's Choice, we know that it's really high quality. You know, Professional's Choice, that's one of their really main goals, is to have super high quality products at a really competitive price. So, you know, you're getting, you know, you look at our price points, and it's very competitive and it's super high quality. And then we've added some of the specialty in there, some of the things that you don't have out there. One of the bits, actually, back in McKinley's early days, that Brian Sabo had brought over from England was this W gag. And I had ridden McKinley cross country in that, like around the 2-star level, and I couldn't buy one. You know, I wanted to buy one. I had some students that tried it, and you couldn't find it in this country.
Yeah, that's not your normal gag bit.
Yeah. No. And so we came up with the W mouthpiece, and we've got it both in the gag bit for cross country as well as a full cheek, which is more traditional for your hunter jumper. You know, if you're going to go in the hunter ring or the Eck ring, you know, you need to have a more classical full cheek type cheek piece.
Yeah.
But a lot of times you'd see like the double twisted wire, which maybe is a little more harsh.
Yeah.
Than what you'd want to do. So we've got the smooth mouthpiece on that. So it's a little smoother, a little kinder, but still having a little bit of an elevation, kind of bump that horse up off the contact, still appropriate for the equitation hunter ring.
So what's the W? How does that function, the W?
So the W is like two different snaffle pieces. It's, you know, hard to describe without seeing it in person, but if you think of the action of a double twisted wire, if you've seen that, you've got the two different snaffle pieces,
yep.
But they're offset, so it creates multiple points of pressure on the horse's tongue. Yeah, so, and when you add multiple points of contact on the tongue, you get a quicker reaction.
Okay.
So it's a little bit sharper, a little more reactive. If you need a horse to respond quicker with less rein pressure, those multiple points of contact are going to give you that reaction.
So good, too, for the jumper ring.
Great for the jumper ring. More traditional look,
yep.
You know, you don't see a gag bit in the Eck ring or the hunter ring, but you know, got to go with a full cheek or a D ring. So, more traditional, more control. Really good for cross country and hunting too. You know, if you've got a horse that goes down too low, I know people go to a gag really quick.
Mm.
The problem with gags is you can get horses too hollow and inverted. So I'm careful about the gags, especially with a less experienced rider, but going to something like the W, gets the horse to pick up his head and his neck and not bear down without having to go to the leverage action of the gag.
That's really important when you're moving out at a clip, especially on uneven terrain. You're going down rocky footing, and up here in the Northeast, you never know what you're going to get in terms of footing. And
just lift your head up.
Go to your hands too much.
Exactly.
You know, really screwing with them.
Exactly. But if you've got just a little bit more there in the mouth, it can just get a really quick reaction, pick that head and neck up, be in a balance where you're safe,
yes,
and you get the head and neck up, the haunches go down, and off you go.
All right. So what do you have for those dressage?
The dressage riders.
Yeah.
We have a wonderful basic double. We call the double break snaffle. It's double jointed. It's smooth across the middle. It's a loose ring. So again, you've got the added suppling. Your very classic, basic day-to-day training bit, legal for the dressage ring. Horses love it. It's a good diameter. You know, I think you go too thick sometimes, and a horse with a small palate's going to resent it. You go too thin, it's
too harsh.
A little harsh. So it's a nice medium thickness. It's a good weight. You know, sometimes you hold those snaffles, and you can get a feel for how it's going to fit in your horse's mouth based on the weight. So it's just a good blend, a good weight, a good size.
And, of course, the most important thing is Gina's from California. She always looks good. Every place she goes, are the bits good-looking like you, Gina?
Beautiful. They fit right in with our California, you know, exactly. A little bit of shine on that California sunshine, a little bling.
Well, you know, what I like about it, you said, is there's a lot of trendy bits, and people will put things in their horse's mouth, and they don't know why. This collection sort of represents what you said when we started out the show, which is, starting out with the simplest bit possible. And these are just very basic, simple things. So
right. You
can accomplish a lot with very simple bits.
Exactly. And what I like to do, because I have children too, and I appreciate you're out fox hunting, you're sending your child out on cross country, you want them to be safe, you want them to have control. And so I'm all about that. You know, you need to put something stronger for the competition, great. Then come home, put something simpler in, and work on getting better at home and getting more communication, riding more from your leg in your seat, mild bit at home, and then maybe still need to, and then you get to the point where, oh my gosh, I actually don't need that bit anymore because I've actually trained my horse, which
yes.
is what I think is the goal.
Going right back to the simplest of simple.
Exactly. So kind of a cycle.
Where can people find them, Gina?
So Professional's Choice is carrying the bits, and they're in all stores that carry Professional's Choice products, and you can order directly from the website Professional's Choice as well.
Good.
Thank you, Gina Miles.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Time for everybody's favorite time of the week here at Horses in the Morning, and that is Really Bad Ads, the time when our listeners send us bad Craigslist ads, usually, or ads they find on the internet, about anything to do with horses, chickens, anything to do with farms, tractors, whatever. Whatever it is that you find in Craigslist in the farm section, just send them to us, and we will gracefully and elegantly read them to everybody.
Yeah. We will read them as they're written.
Yes.
That's actually what we do. So what's the prize for this week? I know we only have one this week.
Yeah, well, so you'd only need one when we're giving away the EquityMFG.com Flex and Fork. You know, it's everybody's favorite prize on Really Bad Ads. We are giving away a Flex and Fork, so if you don't have one yet, you better pray right now that we pick yours. And if you do, then you're getting a second one because you can always use two of these things. You know, one of the things you want to do is make sure you bring them. We had a listener last week say that she puts it in her horse trailer and she uses it at shows and stuff. You better put your name in that damn thing or it's going to disappear. You know,
oh my God. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I used my shaken fork at the last horse trial and I brought it this weekend as well. And people talk about it and everybody wants to borrow it. So when people borrow my shaken fork, I have to keep tabs on who has it. So this is a very coveted prize and it is worth a lot of money and it is worth a lot of, I don't know, what's the word, pride? You know, you can brag. It's bragging rights. You have the most awesome manure fork ever.
You know what I was just thinking? You know how when you go to the bank and they used to have the pens tied to those little chains so you couldn't steal the pens? You need to have it tied to your trailer by a chain.
They still do that, Glenn, if you haven't been to a bank recently.
All right, let's get started. By the way, the names we are reading are not the names of the people who posted the really bad ad, but the names of the people who sent it to us.
Perfect. Go ahead and do the first one.
All right, the first one is by Stacy Ann, who sent this one in. It's in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, our old stomping ground where I grew up. This ought to be good. Mare for sale, $600, Lancaster County. 11-year-old brown quarter horse mare with white blaze. Good on trails, can canter, walk, trot, can be ridden with light leg pressure, bite or halter. Bite or halter. And direct rein. Healthy sound, has current shots, flexes and trailers well. Has lots of energy, needs experienced rider to further her education. App 13 hands. 13 hands. I was expecting a big quarter horse, and then she comes up with 13 hands. By the way, it bites, but it does wear its halter, and it flexes.
13 hands is a pony, FYI.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's true, yeah.
That's tiny. 13 hands is
that's
small.
A little above my Hackney. I didn't even know they made quarter horses that small, actually, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I bet that it doesn't have papers. So you're buying a pony.
Yeah.
Diane Brooks sent in the next one. Horse for sale. Horse for sale. Need a quick sale, broke WTC, good temperament. Good with kids, dogs, chickens, roosters, and bunnies. Wow, thank God.
I'm glad they bunny-proofed it.
Yeah. No spook, no buck, no read. 100% sound.
It doesn't read, I don't want it. That's it. It's not worth anything if it doesn't read.
An illiterate bunny lover is what he is. Sound, UTD on all shots, deworming feet, good for vet, farrier, trailering, and bathing. RJ, he's great horse, hate having to sell him. 15-3 hand standard bred, gelding, very thick build, red and western, knows a few of the games, can hack alone or with other horses, has been started on Pirelli level 1, all round great horse, just need a quick sale because I don't have much time for him as school is starting, asking $1,000 or best offer. So there you go. Ooh. Thanks, Diane.
Well, you got a really, what you have here is a 15-3 hand really fat standard bred.
Exactly.
Yes, who's bunny safe. That, bunny, you know, that is important. I never thought about how important it is to be bunny safe.
Yeah.
For a horse.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. Pirelli level 1. How many levels are there? I guess it depends on how many books he wants to sell.
I think Pirelli level 1 means that you can actually lunge the horse or lead it. I don't think it's very very big.
I think Pirelli, as he needs money, keeps coming up with new levels.
Yeah,
so we're probably
like
at level 86 by now.
Yeah. And you can get to level 86, Glenn, if you buy this carrot stick, this halter, and this video.
Yes.
That's how you get there.
All for $19.95. Three easy payments of $19.95. Get yours today.
For the rest of your life. $19.95 a month. Sorry. Side note.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Sorry, Mr. Pirelli. Stephanie sent the following in. The Mustang horse named Tango. Well, that's the title, The Mustang Horse Named Tango, like we should all know.
We know
it's a new movie coming out. It's by Disney next year.
Okay. In Culpeper. Is that Virginia? Culpeper? Great trail jumping. Oh, well, let me do it with the commas. There's like 85,000 commas in this. It makes up for all the ones that have no punctuation. Great trail jumping, barrel racing, mountain climbing, water crossing horse. Her name is Tango. This needs country music. This sounds like a country movie or a western. This needs western music. Her name is Tango. She is 7 years old. She has tons of energy and loves to go on rides. We are working on pulling a buggy. Good jumper. She has jumped my fence many times.
Ah!
I have her title, but not her papers. She crosses water. She kind of scare her because they have rocks. But ponds, on the other hand, she'll walk right through them. She 14-2 hands. For as small as she is, she can do a lot. She loves kids, rides English or Western. We have to meet in person. Can't hire a shipper or pick up for you. You have to be present to win. You
okay,
have to be
so
present to win.
This is a horse that, you got to come look at it before you buy it. There's
yeah,
a shocker.
Yeah, that's
but
the first.
Just so you know, she's not papered, but we do have her title. Yeah. What, is it like a car title?
Oh, you know, I didn't even notice that. Have her title, but not her papers. You're right. What does that mean?
She is a Mustang horse named Tango. She's that's pretty amazing. Yeah, she's titled. So you can register her with a registration.
I wish I had Western movie music for this. It would have been perfect.
Yeah, I know. No kidding. No kidding. Next one, short and sweet. Marianne sent it in. Mule for sale or trade, Chelsea. Young gelded mule, gentle. For sale or trade, make me an offer. I would trade, here we go, for a field sprayer, comma, wagon, comma, hay elevator, or trade for a goat or a lamb or some rabbits. Just take it. Just give me anything. I don't care.
All right, that's pretty bad when you're willing to trade your mule for a goat.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. That's funny. You know what that mule's like.
Yep.
All right. Michelle sent the following in. Wow, I'm getting all the quarter horses today. Let's see if this one's over 13 hands. Quarter horse mare, $500 in Waynesboro. This is all one, no punctuation. Here we go. I'm selling a very fast mare, would be great at barrels or roping. She is too fast for us because she has been raced on trails and never been beat. She is awesome. Cut on her or call text.
Man, that really meant to me. I really want to buy that horse now.
And first of all, did you know that they're racing on trails now?
I'd never heard of trail racing, no. But it sounds fun.
Yeah, it does sound fun. I have a video. I'm going to post it up on Horses in the Morning. Speaking of trail racing, we had a guest on, and you'll know who she is. We had a guest on the Driving Radio Show this week, and she's a cartoonist. And she was on a trail ride with a whole bunch of people, and two of them, one wearing a GoPro cam, decided to take off at a dead gallop. And race her friend. Well, the one wearing the GoPro has the video of her friend at 30 kilometers per hour, they said. The horse decided to make a left into the woods and into the thickets. And the horse made a left, and you saw the rider go over the top, and the horse and rider both disappeared in the brambles in the woods. And that's the last thing you see. Well, apparently the rider and the horse were uninjured. They both came out, but I'm going to post that video. Talking about racing, there's why you don't do that necessarily. Not a good idea. Yeah.
Nice.
By the way, the guest we had on was the one who draws Fergus, who is very...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, cool. She's a neat lady.
Back to ads. Come on,
guys. All right, sorry. Okay. Emilia. Beautiful Belgian mare. Bomb-proof. Rides and drives, single or double, $800 in Ash Flat, Arkansas. You should be reading this one. Your southern accent. Nellie is wonderful and super calm. She is purebred Belgian and is around 16 to 18 years old. She was born and raised on the Amish farm and lived there until 1.5 years ago. Her last job on the Amish farm was school bus. She was the whole school bus. We have let her hooves grow out on purpose. This is a wonderful mare, and she just needs some more weight, and she'll be a super horse. She is very calm. You won't believe it. She is truly gentle giant. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact me, and God bless. We are open to offers and trades. We are currently looking for, here we go, camper, trailer, truck, SUV, boat, cattle, sheep, goats, four-wheeler, or what do you have? Oh, my God, what is it with the goats today?
Number one, she was a school bus.
Yes, apparently.
That's hysterical.
You could take the whole family.
Number two, they let her hooves grow out on purpose. Sure,
yeah,
you did.
Sure, you did.
Yeah, right. Yeah. She's too skinny and she's got long feet, so you're buying basically a horse that we haven't messed with in about a year and a half since she was an Amish school bus.
Yeah, I love how they couched it. Oh, just needs some more weight. Yeah.
Yeah.
My pony did too. Yep.
Because draft horses are so skinny normally, you know.
Because they just need more weight because we don't bother feeding our animals.
Exactly.
But then we want more. We'll take some cattle and some sheep and goats so we can make them skinny too.
Things that'll live on air we'll take. Scott sent in the next one. Cheap horse. $200. Wow, that is cheap. I have a 5-year-old.
You just got to the next word, didn't you?
I'm glad you got this one.
This is all one sentence, mind you. But I've got to read it slow just so you can really soak in the things that this person is saying. Cheap horse, $200. I have a 5-year-old. It's either a stud or a paint. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It's up to date, and I have a saddle. If you won't, the saddle and the horse price is $350, and it's kid broke. It's a good horse. It's just eating me out of house and home. Call or text me. God. It's either a stud or a paint, and it's kid safe. Let's don't.
Because we all know there are never any paint studs. That just doesn't happen in the horse world.
No, you wouldn't have the two of those. And it's certainly not kid broke. So I don't know what the heck that guy's selling. That's hysterical. And I'll do the Glenn, you want to do the next one?
That
Robin
has to be a first, that sentence right there. That's one of the classic sentences, Jennifer. If you were collecting sentences out of ads, that would be the classic right there.
Five-year-old, it's either a stud or a paint. Not sure.
That's so funny. That is so funny.
We need that. That should be on the calendar, that quote right there.
It's either a stud or a paint.
Robin Kane sent in the following. A beautiful... Okay. We need to read these ahead of time. A beautiful, mean guard rooster. Kelseyville. His name is Indy. 5 months old, barred, bald rock. He is big and beautiful one. Guards his four hens. Lately against anything and everything that comes too close in his opinion. Tried cooling him a few weeks ago. Today he's on the run and hens are out.
What?
I think she's spraying the hose at him, I think.
Oh.
Oh.
That's different than what you hear in the movies. Cooling him means something completely different. Realizing it is a special one as we want him to go to a good home, not for fighting or to be being eaten. We don't know how he is around children, but he will chase a full-grown man as soon as they turn their back and walk away. He will chase cats, dogs, other small birds, and can be really mean to kittens and puppies. Oh, God. He's a terror chicken. He is young and has never seen another rooster. I must hope he doesn't. So we hope to rehome him to a much bigger farm where there are many more roosters and hens, where he would have to grow up and earn his rooster rights properly. He doesn't dance. He just jumps on the hens. Oh, my God. If you're interested, come pick him up. Please take him away.
Oh, my God.
I know you're a vegetarian and everything, but there are times when chickens and roosters, especially roosters, should be eaten. This is one of those times.
I don't advocate eating anything, chicken rooster. But this is, I would kick it. Like, that would be a football practice is what that chicken would be. I guarantee it.
It'd be cooled out, that rooster.
Yep. No kidding. That's funny. The next one is a very beautiful for the calendar trailer ad that Chelsea sent in. It only says horse trailer, $700 in Sail Creek. For more info, or if you would like to look at it, just call. You don't need to go look at it because you can pretty much see that it is a disaster from the picture that is provided with the 7 layers of paint that have worn off in various spots on the trailer, the rust that is coming through. It seems to be black. It used to be red. Under that, it might have been yellow, and I think initially it was white. You can't see the tires because there's so much crap and weeds on the ground. You can't tell if it'll pull. It looks like the front.
There's a battery where the one tire should be.
Yeah. It looks like there used to be a front, like where you opened the front and you put some hay in. That appears to be completely welded shut. So you're not going to feed your horses from the front in this one. You don't want to take a horse in this, in my opinion. It is absolutely stunningly beautiful. And maybe you can talk them into selling the boat that is located right next to it that has been apparently sitting as long as this trailer.
You know what they've been using this for? Because did you notice the back doors are open and they're in a field? If you look closely to the back, there's a mini horse and a white horse way in the back of that field. I think they've been using it as a run-in shed.
You might be right.
Yes. And by the way, people, and we've all seen this, do not put your horses out in fields that have pieces of metal that will cut their legs. Just saying.
That's why the horses are so far away. They're like, keep away from that thing. My God. It's a disaster.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to get that one out of the field. Mel, that was a classic. Jennifer will post that on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Mel from Australia always has good ones. I have a 16-year-old horse who is untrained and very stubborn. Oof, you got a 16-year-old that's very stubborn, you're in trouble. I am looking for someone to train him for free. He is about 16.4 hands.
Stop. Let me help you out. Okay. Let's switch. I'll do this one.
All right, you do this one.
This is going to hurt your brain.
Okay. It already has.
I have a 16-year-old horse who is untrained and very stubborn. Great start. I am looking for someone to train Jaime for free. He is about 16.4
H. I love when they do that.
Yeah. I need some unwa to come by 3 times a week and train Jaime under my watch. He needs 30-day groundwork done. His loves to eat, and I'm willing to let him go any direction. He heeds an experienced trainer. He is unaltered, tall, needs a farrier and a good wash, but that's about it. Getting to ride, train, and hug a horse for free. So give me a call with any questions.
She wants somebody to do this for free.
That was the first sentence. I'm looking for somebody to train him for free.
Yes.
Okay, let me package this up for you here, Glenn. This is a 16-year-old stallion who has never had any training, and she wants you to come to her place 3 days a week and train him for free.
Under her supervision, doing
only
it her way.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Wow. That is one of those, Mel Donald, why did you
but
not...
But you know something? It's a stallion, so we know it's not a paint. We do.
Oh, yeah, that. Obviously. It can't be.
Gemma sent the following one in. Big, beautiful, fast head barrel horse. In Delta, Utah. This mare is big, beautiful, and fast. She has go, man, go. Sold short, easily smashed, and dog face on her papers. Oh, my God. There's a horse named Dog Face?
Easily smashed
and dog face. Oh.
Those are good bloodlines.
Go. Okay, listen to the four of them. Go, man, go. Sold short, easily smashed, and dog face. Just what I want in my lineage.
Man, those are characters on a Wile E. Coyote
comic strip. Yes. Extremely broke. This is just the opposite of the last one. Extremely broke. Has had reining training. Excuse me. But needs more experienced rider because she is running bred and has a lot of go and needs soft hands. You won't get outran. This mare is going to be wicked. She is awesome and will be great for high pound sign roper or experienced barrel racer that wants to go win. Has a memory like an elephant. Show her once and she remembers. She's had 3 adjustments and 3 cold laser treatments. Athletes deserve to be pampered a little. So she is really go perform at her best. Come check her out. Need to downsize and I can afford hay and I can't. Need to downsize so I can afford hay, so selling a few of our wonderful herd. Let me review this one. She is really fast and will run off with your ass. That is really what she's saying there.
Can you also point out, too, that she uses the word experienced 4 different times in the ad, and it is spelled 4 different ways.
Oh, and she's completely sound, but we've had to do 3 treatments of this and 3 treatments of that. Because we like to pamper her. Because
she's an athlete, Glenn. Yes, she's an athlete.
No, she's an athlete.
She's an athlete. Extra aimly broke. Good one, Gemma. Good one. Brenda sent in the next one. Wow. I thought it was a typo until I read a little further. Urgent. Cannot keep our children. Must take to a shelter. Okay. Please help. After 2 long years of being on a waiting list for a dog, we have been notified by Breed Rescue that at long last, our number has come up and we are having a puppy. We must get rid of our children immediately because we know just how time-consuming our new little puppy is going to be, and it wouldn't be fair to the children. This is funny. Since our little puppy will be arriving on Monday, we must place the children up for adoption this weekend. One male, his name is Tommy, Caucasian, English-Irish mix, light blonde hair, blue eyes, 4 years old, excellent disposition, he doesn't bite, temperament tested, does have a problem peeing directly into the toilet. He has had chicken pox and is current on all shots. Tonsils have already been removed. Tommy eats everything, is very clean, house trained, and gets along well with others. Does not run with scissors, and with a little training, he should be able to read soon. One female, her name is Lexi, Caucasian, English-Irish mix, strawberry blonde hair, green eyes, quite freckled, 2 years old, can be surly at times, non-biter, thumb sucker, has been temperament tested, but needs a little attitude adjusting occasionally. Gets along well with other little girls and little boys, but does not like to share her toys and therefore would do best in a one-child household.
You always find that out when you have the second one.
I know, right? Yeah. She is a very quick learner and is currently working on her house training. It shouldn't take long at all. We really do love our children so much and want what's right for them. That is why we contacted a rescue group, but we simply can no longer afford to keep them. We are also afraid that they may hurt our new puppy. I hope you understand that ours is a unique situation and we have a real emergency here. They must be placed into a rescue by Sunday night at the latest, or we will be forced to drop them off at the orphanage or along some dark country road. Our priority now has to be our new puppy. Now, Brenda sent this one in, and this is hysterical if it wasn't written quite so well, because I almost at times believe it.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it was just a little too good. Like,
yeah. A little too educated. Guys, yeah.
Are you serious here? Because it's really well written, and they might be. I'm a little nervous about that one. I'm a little nervous.
Well, thank you to everybody who sent in their ads for this week's Really Bad Ads. We have the EquityMFG.com Flex and Fork to give away, so we must pick a winner. Do we have any ideas on who we want there, Jamie?
Well, I think we got probably the most mileage. I don't know. They're so good, but I'm looking for it right now. Okay, I think we got the most mileage by far out of Scott's, and that is the five-year-old that he's not quite sure if it's a stud or a paint.
Yay, that's the one I wanted. I mean, that's a line that we're going to use forever on this show.
Yeah, it really is. Really Keeper. Is. And I loved Michelle's. I thought the Stephanie's was really good. Stacy's was awesome. I the trailer was fantastic. Of course, all trailers are. And Brenda's was really good. But I got to go with Scott.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. That's just a line that we're always going to use. That'll stick with us forever. Never again in history of the world will there be a stud paint.
No, they can't be studs or paints. I do love the one where the horse was 16 years old and was unbroke, and you could come and train it for free. Yeah. If we had a second prize, can we send them like a mug or something?
Well, that's Mel, and it's hard to send her stuff.
Oh, she's in Australia.
She's in Australia. So
we'll send her our love.
Mel is a good sport. She keeps sending these ads in knowing she can't win. So she is a good sport.
Mel, if you actually ever make your way to the United States, I will give you Glenn's address, and you can go to his house and pick out any piece of furniture you want.
Thank you, everybody. We appreciate you being here. Jamie has a horse show to get to.
I got
to
go do just
you got to go do it. So we will talk to everybody. We'll be back here live on Monday morning. Have a terrific weekend. Jamie, good luck, and kick some butt.
Oh, I'm nervous. But thank you very much, everybody. Have a great weekend. Spay, neuter, and geld, and we'll talk to you Monday.